Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, Jesus said, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Back to verse number 17. "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." I'd like to preach just a few minutes, the Lord be my helper, on the deception of lukewarmness. The deception of lukewarmness. You can take two pans or pots, or whatever you want to call them, identical vessels, and fill them to the same level with water out of the same faucet. Take one of them and put it in the freezer. Take the other and put it on the stove or range and turn the fire up. And in time, the one that you put in the freezer, that water will be a solid block of ice. And the one that you put on the fire, the water will start boiling. You can take them and put them on a table at room temperature, and for a while you can tell that there's a definite difference between them. After they have been there a while, you notice a change. There's no more steam coming off the water that was once boiling. And that block of ice has started to melt. If you take them, put the one back on the burner, in just a little while it'll be boiling again. Take that one that was in the freezer, put it back in the freezer, in just a little while it'll be a block of ice again. And as long as you keep that up, they'll keep their form. But if you leave them there on that table, after a while, though the pans may be identical, and at one time there was a difference in the contents, they are both the same. If you didn't know which one you took out of the freezer and which one you took off of the burner, you could not tell by the temperature of the water where they had been. If water could talk, the water in the pan that had been in the freezer might say, "I'm still the same water. I'm still in the same pan." But chip you off a piece of it and put it in your sweet tea and see what happens. That water in that pan that was once boiling, take you a cup of good old Southern grits and pour in there and see what happens. Have you ever heard people say, "I'm just like I've always been. I believe the same thing I've always believed." That temperature changed so slowly until you didn't notice it. But the end result is quite different. They started out at opposite ends. They wound up in the same condition because of lukewarmness. I don't like cold weather. When it gets down below about 60, I get uncomfortable. I don't like hot weather. I have worked in hot weather before, but I don't like to. Back in January, Barry, our son, and I went to Alabama, over in Alabama, to my brother-in-law's house, and we went deer hunting. We have the past few years. That's about the only week of the year that I deer hunt. And I was sitting up in the deer stand one morning in the shooting house, and I got so cold. I had gloves on, I had boots on, I had thick socks on, but I got cold, Brother Hobby. And I said, this is foolish. My pickup is just a few hundred yards away from here, and here I am sitting up in here about to freeze. You know what I did? I got down, deer or no deer. I went to my pickup, I started the engine up, I turned the heater on, and I warmed up. When I'm cold, I start looking for a warm place. Put a coat on. Put more clothes on. If it's at night, I try to find something to cover up with. I can't hardly sleep when I'm cold. Did you hear that? I can't hardly sleep when I'm cold. Same way being hot. But when I get in that recliner in our living room, and I kick my feet up in the air and my head back. In just a little while, I don't see what's going on around me. I don't hear what's going on around me. I don't know what's going on around me, and I don't care what's going on around me. Why? Because I have reached that comfortable, lukewarm condition. And nothing around me matters. Somebody could break into my house, and I wouldn't know it, Brother Hobby, until they were right on me. Why? I'm comfortable. I'm lukewarm. One of the bad things about a lukewarm condition is you don't see things like you need to. You don't hear things like you need to. I've been before lying there and people be talking around me, and I knew they were talking, and I think later, what did they say? As Brother Tabor was preaching yesterday, did they say no or did they say go? Kind of embarrassed to, ask them again. But so many times spiritually, if we're not careful, we'll be in that lukewarm condition, and we won't really know what God said. And we'll get to the place to where we won't ask Him the second time. We'll just let it go. Cheryl and I were dating a few years ago. Well, yeah. I left her dad's house. She was still at home, naturally. And I started to our house, and it's about 30 miles away, and I was tired, and it was pretty late at night. I was driving up Lot Road from the Mobile area to Citronelle. I was in my brother's 67 Chevrolet, standard shift. I was just driving up the road going home. And I looked, and coming down the road, straight toward me was a horse. And in just a few seconds, there was a whole herd of horses straight toward my automobile. And just before they ran into my automobile, or I ran into them, I slammed on the brakes, slid sideways in the road, stalled the engine in that Chevrolet, and snapped out of my lukewarm condition. There wasn't a horse anywhere. If I had realized that I was fixing to go to sleep, I would have stopped that automobile and woke myself up. There's been many people naturally have died because they thought they were wide awake and all the time they were dozing off. Several years ago, Kendall Carlton, y'all know him. The bunch of us had gone deer hunting, and it wasn't long after I had moved to Jersey, and early in the morning we got up, and we left home about 4 o'clock, I guess, and went and hunted about half the day. And on our way back, we were going up Interstate 20. He was driving. I was sitting over there just watching the road. Thought he was. We came to a curve on the interstate. He didn't turn. He just went straight off the road. I reached over and grabbed the steering wheel and kept it in the road, and he jerked and woke up, and he said, "I guess I better wake up, hadn't I?" I said, "Yeah, I think you had." Lukewarm. He got comfortable. Didn't realize he was going to sleep. Both of us could have been killed. There's a lot of folks today that are headed off the cliff, and they don't realize it. They think they're still going straight down the road spiritually, but they've been in that lukewarm condition so long until they're comfortable in it. Don't mess with me. Don't try to stir me. Don't just leave me alone. I'm comfortable. I'm right where I want to be. I'm all right. Just like I've always been. Don't bother me. I'm all right. Brother Justin Cole, just a few days ago, a couple of weeks ago, driving home from work, had a wreck, flipped his automobile. Looked like when you look at it, it's unbelievable that he got out of it without being hurt. He said, I didn't hear him say this, but I heard someone else say it. He said, "I did not realize that I was that sleepy. I didn't realize I was going to sleep. Driving down the road and going to sleep. Ran off the road and I think maybe hit an embankment or something. It woke him up. But it could have just as easily kill him." Thank God. Thank God. There's been times, Brother Daniel, when he woke me up. I could have been gone spiritually. But God in his mercy sent another message to let me know, hey, you're getting lukewarm. We should all have a daily prayer life, and when we do, if we do, we look forward to that time of prayer. It's the highlight of our day. Do you know you can miss a day if for some reason you miss a day? You feel bad. You feel like there's something in your life that's missing. But then when you miss a couple of days, and then that goes into a week, and then on and on, you get to the place after a while to where you do not miss your prayer life. And you still feel like everything is all right. You lose your desire to go to church. And if we do go, it's just because we don't want the preacher calling us or the Sunday school teacher calling us and saying, "Where were you Sunday?" We just go out of duty. If the service is great and the service's spirit is high and people run and shout, that's fine. That's all right. I can live with that. If it's one of those services where the singers can't sing, the preacher can't hardly preach, and that's all right. It's all right with me. What's wrong? Lukewarmness. lukewarmness. And the bad thing about it is that the children are watching. This must be the way we're supposed to have church. That's the way mom and daddy's doing. That's the way, in our case, it would be grandma and papa's doing. We don't need to tell them how to have church. We need to show them how to have church. We don't need to assume that they know how to have church. We need to make sure, Brother Hobbit, that they know how to have church. And we can't do it in a lukewarm condition. Lot was blessed because of Abraham. Abraham was a man of God. He carried Lot along just to keep from leaving him home. Felt sorry for him, I guess, and carried him along with him. But there came a time when Lot had to make his own decision. I believe that God will bless and protect children for a while because of their parents' godly life. But there comes a time after a while when we all have to make our own decisions. And if our children have been watching us having half church, that's what they're going to do. Unless by some miracle God deals with them otherwise. I know how to have church because I've watched people all my life get in and have church. I can't afford. We've got two teenage granddaughters. One of them married now. And two little sandy-headed boys. Grandchildren, they're watching me. What's Papa going to do? I know how to have church because I've been watching Papa. What kind of services are our grandchildren going to have? I'm not scolding this, but we should have had a lot greater altar service last night than what we had after the message we heard. Abraham said, Lot, we're brethren. We're not going to fight. We're not going to fuss. You have cattle. I have cattle. And there's just not enough grass here for us. Abraham and Lot didn't get into a fight. Their herdsmen did. Abraham said, look around. Whatever you want, take it. Lot made his own choice. The Bible said he lifted up his eyes and beheld the well-watered plains of Jordan. I have sheep. I have cattle. Really wasn't a bad economical choice. I mean, you know. But as it usually happens, it didn't stop there. The Bible said he pitched his tent toward Sodom. We find later on that their war breaks out and Lot and his family are taken, his possessions are taken. Abraham himself, with the men raised in his own house, went down and delivered Lot out of the hands of the enemy. And where do we find him the next time we find him? Where is he? He is at the gate of Sodom. Went right back into it. No, he knew better than that. But he'd been there so long until he's getting comfortable now. I'm telling you something. If we're not careful, we're going to get comfortable with the things that are going on in the world today. They're coming in now almost like a storm. They've been coming in for some time, very subtle. And we've kind of put up with it. The time's coming. We're going to have to make a decision. I don't know how far into the city Lot went. But I do know that his children must have gone a lot further. Why did they do that? Because Lot felt comfortable in the gate. And his children said, "If you know, he brought us here. He raised us here. It must be all right. He hasn't spoken out too much against it. I know that the Bible said it, the sins of Sodom vexed his righteous soul. But why did he stay there? There are other places that he could go. I'll tell you why. Because gradually he got used to being in that place. And it got to where it didn't bother him. And his children must have felt that it was all right. In fact, they got so comfortable there until when he begged them to leave, they wouldn't leave. Why are you telling us to get out? You've been here all this time. You raised us here. Now you're telling us God's going to destroy this place. If you believe that, why are you still here? We can preach whatever we want to preach. But if it doesn't affect us, if it doesn't cause us to get any closer to God, then we cannot expect it to cause anybody else to do that. Fact, Lot got so, he was so tied to that place until the Bible said the angel of God took hold of his hand, God being merciful, and led him out of there. And his wife had been there so long until she was on her way to safety. She was almost out of that city. And she looked back. She had got so far from God, so cold. And it started out with just a little lukewarmness. But she was deceived by that lukewarmness. It cost her her life. I don't know how many children Lot had, but he must have had more than one that was married. Because the angel asked them, are there any besides sons-in-law? I'd hate to know that if I went to my children and begged them to flee to safety, they'd laugh at me. But it'll happen. It will happen if we play around with God. If we don't get serious with God, let that spirit of lukewarmness that's so covering the world today, that's affecting so many people, it will happen. Naomi never thought about when she left Bethlehem, and I preached on this last year. She never dreamed that she was going to come back home. No husband, no sons. Just one daughter-in-law. What happened? She stayed in Moab. The Bible said they went to sojourn. But she stayed there until she got comfortable there. Even after her husband died, it looks like that she would have at least thought about going back home. She lost. And all the time, feeling so comfortable there, she stayed there until all she had left was just her life. She did have enough integrity that she convinced Ruth to go with her. But oh, what she lost, because she got in Moab and she got comfortable there. It will happen. It will happen if we're not careful. There's so great a danger. There's so great a danger in being lukewarm. Things don't look right. Things don't sound right. Things are not right. And yet, we're comfortable there. You know what I prayed? God, put me back on the burner and turn up the heat. Don't let me be lukewarm.